We're continuing in the series Restore My Soul, chapter paragraph 69, which is based on Likutei Halachos, the section that's called Yoredeya, and it's the laws of shaving, Hilchot Giluach, Halacha Gimel, chapter 3, paragraph 9. Kol hamilchomoi sheboilom maramzim hoikar al milchemes hayetzahara. All the battles that take place in the world, whether it's battles that an individual is fighting, or even battles within between nations, all allude to the ultimate battle, which is the battle between the evil inclination and man. Ki afilu hamilchomoi sheyesh lechot begashmius im soinim voivim. Hakol hu milchemes hayetzahara, kemaimar Razal, kishem sheyesh lodom tzorim lamato, kach yesh lo tzorim lamalo. And so too, the physical battles that a person goes through with their enemies are also a form of this battle against the evil inclination. As the rabbis of the Gemara tell us, that when a person experiences enemies below here on earth, that implies that this person also has enemies waging a battle against them up in heaven. Interestingly, the Zohar HaKadosh tells us that if you'll note throughout Jewish history, the path that the Jewish leaders took when they engaged in battle was always that they were in front of their soldiers, leading them on. So the Zohar HaKadosh says, we see a strange thing. When the Jews came out of Egypt, after having seen all the miracles that Hashem had done for them and everything, and they're attacked by Amalek, we find Moshe Rabbeinu, the ultimate leader, telling his student Yehoshua, "Tzei hilochem ba'Amalek. You go out and wage battle against Amalek, and I and my brother Aaron and Hur will go up on the mountain and we'll do such and such." So the Zohar HaKadosh says, this isn't the usual procedure. What happened here? And he explains that in this case, as in all cases, when there's a major, major battle going on between two nations below on earth, the implication is that their sorim above, their representative angels above in heaven are also battling it out, so that the angel of Amalek was going to present a prosecution against Klal Yisrael. And it's for this reason that Moshe Rabbeinu said to Yeshua, I'm going to go up to handle the more difficult battle, the more delicate and dangerous battle. And you go out and handle the physical battle against Amalek. V'alkein ikar hamilchomo hi milchemes hayetzahara. And therefore, a person needs to be aware at all times that the main battle is the battle that a person has against their evil inclination, which is called this Yetzer Hora. V'zeh shehizir ha-koyein koydim shenichnesu lilchoy melchemas Hashem lenaseach ha-soivim v'asitra achro shemizavim esagdusha shehim b'chin ha-soakim shesoviv Eretz Yisrael shehim klal kol ha-ma'akvim v'amoyin ha-midvorim shebikdusha. Rav Nosson Zal explains, this is why you'll observe that whenever the Jews went out to do battle against their enemies, when the Jews were settled in Eretz Yisrael, and we know that Eretz Yisrael at all times was surrounded by enemies, Zois Yerushalayim Samtia Ben Agoyim, and these enemies were symbolic of all the obstacles, Kol Hama'akvim V'amoyinim Midvorim Shebikdusha, all the obstacles that try to prevent a Jew from completing what the person needs to complete in Kiddusha and holiness. U'kishehodom nichnas lilochim imohem, and when a person enters into this battle against these forces, Azayin esoyrem olav kitrugim gedoilim veroitzim lahapaloisim evadosi legamri chas v'shom, then what happens is there are major persecutions against this person. There's all kinds of things coming at the person to try to make that person fall and give up and quit doing even what they're doing up until that point in religion and trying to come close to Hashem. V'zeh Iker Hamilchomo, Shetzorech Lehischazek Lamoid Al Raglov, Laval Yipoel Mevoidosis Borachas Vishon. And this is the essence of the battle. The essence of the battle is for the person to stand their ground, that they're entering into this major war, and before they get started even, the Satan tries to pull the rug out from under the person's feet and to make the person stumble in some kind of way that the person will fall and quit even before they really get into the thick of the battle. And the most important thing is for the person to have the encouragement, the chizuk that it takes to know that no matter what, I'm not quitting. I'm not stepping out of the ring. I'm not giving up. I'm here. I'm standing my ground and I'm prepared to do whatever it takes and to go through whatever it takes. Ve'oz bevada yizke lenatzchom leshavrom levatlom. And as long as the person will be firm in their conviction, the person will be stubborn and committed that I'm not leaving, I'm not quitting no matter what, that person will definitely, definitely succeed at eliminating these obstacles and overcoming the enemies. The question is, what gives the person, in what should the person trust? Where should the person get this confidence that they need, that they're going to win? The most important thing is the person's faith. As long as a person is firm in their faith, and when we say emuna, this means faith in Hashem, faith in tzaddikim, faith in the Torah, faith in everything that a Jew is supposed to believe in, then that person doesn't have to be afraid of any battle or any test. And this is why the Torah tells us that the procedure that the Jews followed when they went out to battle is that the Kohanim would speak to them before they actually went out to do the battle. And this is what they would say. Shema Yisrael. Listen, Jews. Atem krevim hayoim lamelchoma. You're about to approach the battleground. V'dorshu rabbeisenu zechron avrocha. And our rabbis in the Gemara tell us that what was the message in this? Why did they begin by announcing Shema Yisrael, listen Jews, to tell each and every one of the Jews that afilu ein bohem schus elam ha'shatem oimrem b'chol yoim Shema Yisrael atem ruim lenatzeach ezoivechem v'chulu. That we know that now that when a person's going out to battle, there's all kinds of thoughts that race through the person's mind. Am I going to succeed? Am I going to fail? Am I worthy? Am I deserving of success? Or am I unworthy? Could it be that even though I'm on the right side, even though I'm with the Jewish people, what about me? Who knows what I've done wrong and all the sins that I've committed in thought, in speech, and action? Maybe I don't deserve the protection of Hashem. Maybe I don't deserve to come back, you know, with victory. And the Kohanim said to every single Jew, listen carefully. Shema Yisrael. They reminded them that the most basic display of a person's faith in Hashem is a person who says the words Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, in Shachris and in Arvis, in the morning and in the evening. That's the lowest, that's the most basic, simple level. And the Kohen was saying that for that alone, for the fact that you are one of those people who says Shema Yisrael, you have nothing to fear. That alone is enough of a justification for Hashem to protect you and for Hashem to help you share in the victory. Hainu kanal, as we mentioned earlier, ki b'schus Shema Yisrael levad, hainu b'schus hu emuna gdoisha, bozeh levad atem yecholim leskarav lamelchoma begashmius avaruchnius. The merit alone of the fact that you have faith in Hashem, you are from those who declare Shema Yisrael Hashem Hashem Echad, that's enough to be worthy of being protected and saved and victorious, both physically and spiritually. Because as long as you're firm in your faith in Hashem, you're solid in that, You don't have to fear any battle. V'zeh, and this is why the Kohanim said, Al yerach levavchem. Don't allow your hearts to be soft. Al tiru valtartzu valtachpazu bepneim. Don't have any iota of fear whatsoever towards these nations that you're going to do battle with. V'dorshu Rabbi Sein Zechon Levrocha, and our rabbis in the Gemara explain this pasuk by saying, Al tiru mishata susim umishifas hakalgasim v'koil hakronois hainu inyonei tachsisei melchoma shoisim hasoinim lahafchid ulayim al shekenegdom. The Gemara says that in those days, just as today, when nations went out to battle, they knew that the secret to succeed is if you can inject fear into the hearts of your enemy, it's all over. Rabbi Nizal writes in Likutei Moran that the Iker Gvura is Gvura Shebelev. The main strength, it's not how many kilo a person weighs that's going to help him win the battle. It's not how big their muscles are. It's which person is tougher inside. Which person has that toughness in their heart, that brazenness and toughness and that self-confidence and that determination that they're not going to quit. They have to win. They're going to win. That's the person who wins. And in those days, as today, part of the things that the enemy would try to do would be to make crashing sounds, loud noises. When their horses would come running, they'd have all kinds of things on them. They'd have them adorned with things that made a lot of noise, because so that, again, when they come charging, the other side would be filled with fear. Just the noise, the shrill noises and everything, that alone would inject fear, and then it's all over. So the Kohanim said, don't be afraid of all their noises through which they're trying to put fear into you. And these same concepts apply to the battle that each and every one of us goes through with his evil inclination. The Yetzer also has ways of trying to get the person to be afraid. And those who have tried to become religious or to become more religious, they know exactly what I'm talking about, Rav Nosson Zal says. All the different tricks that the Yetzer Hara does to try to inject fear into a person. Fear of financial failure. Fear of what people are going to say. What's this one? What's my friend? What's my uncle going to say when they find out that I became religious? All the different types of forms and shapes in which the Yetzer Hara tries to come at the person with all kinds of insecurities, weaknesses, and actual fears. Afilu adam poshut legamri. We're not talking about great tzaddikim, even a regular simple Jew. When the Yetzer Hara engages that person in battle and is trying to hurt that person, he comes at him with his assorted tricks. And most of them are based on this concept of fear, putting all kinds of fears into the person and thereby pulverizing the person. When a person's in a state of fear, they can't act, they can't daven, they can't learn, they can't think, they can't move forward, chas v'shalom. Ki derech habaldovor la'ayim ulahafchid al ha'odom mo'oid mo'oid. Ulahach b'dol avados hisporach mo'oid mo'oid. Because the nature of the Yetzer Hara is to inject tremendous fear into the person and to make it appear to the person as if what they're trying to do is more difficult than climbing Mount Everest. You're crazy. You gotta be nuts to think you have any chance of succeeding at becoming a spiritual person. What are you kidding? A spiritual person? You know what it takes? People fasted for 40 years. Impossible, ridiculous, absurd. Umachmaze rabim nimnoim melahaschil lichnois bavoidosis borach. Machmas ho iumim vahakvedus halolu ukiyotzebohem. And it's this item, these fears, and this heaviness that the Yetzer Hara places upon the person. This has blocked thousands of people, or majority of people, from attempting to try to come close to Hashem in any serious way, to try to be really spiritual. These are the sounds of the hooves of the horses' hooves crashing, and the metal, the shields, clanging of the shields. Avul ho iker, b'avoydes Hashem, shaloi Yifchad Klal, Kemavur B'mokam Achra. And therefore, the most important thing for a person who wants to serve Hashem properly is no fear. No fear whatsoever of these Yirois Nefulois, of the types of fears that the Satan, the Yetzer Hara, is going to try to inject into me. Sheboilam Azeh Hodam Tzorech Lavor Al Gesher Tzar Moed, as Rabbi Nachman once said, that in this world, all of us have to cross a very narrow bridge. V'ho'ikar hu sheloi yispached hodom klal. And the most important thing is not to allow yourself to be frightened. Not to allow that other side to inject fear into you. Not to allow that fear to enter inside. But rather, it slides off me. I won't let it inside. I won't allow it to get to me whatsoever. Interesting that the Gemara says in Psochim, in one place, that the hate that a non-Jew has for a Jew is something that's ingrained from them very often in their mother's milk. From the time that they're born, this is something that's transmitted from generation to the generation. And as bad as that hate is, the hate that an Am Haaretz has for a Talmud Chacham, a person who has no knowledge of religion or doesn't want to know about religion, a Jew who is anti-religious, very often the hate that they have is worse than that of a non-Jew to a Jew. And then the Gemara says, and still worse than that, the worst of the word is, the wife of an Amoritz. The women who are anti-religious, their hate is even deeper and worse. The Arizal says that we know that among the nations of the Goyim, the worst is Amalek. The Torah defines Amalek as Rashis Goyim, the leader of all the nations. All the evil of all 70 nations in the world put together is packed into Amalek. And we know that Haman was a representative of Amalek. Haman was a great-grandson of Amalek and a descendant, and he represented that nation. So Haman is terrible. What's worse than Haman? Who could be worse than Haman? Wife of Haman, Haman's wife, Zeresh. And what does she represent? We say in Shoshanas Yaakov, Arura Zeresh, Eshes Mafchidi. That Zeresh is defined as a klipa, a type of tumah that injects fear into the person, that's mafchid, that makes the person afraid. If I become religious, or if I want to become more religious, who knows what's going to happen? Who knows what this one... That fear, that comes from this klipa of Zeresh Eshes Mafchidi. And this is why Rabbeinu Zal warned the person, that I'm letting you know this in advance, that it's a mirage. It's not sit, it's something, it's like Rabbeinu Zal spoke about the princess who ran into these walls of water, and she went through them, and the walls surrounding her were only something, it's looked like walls. It looked like thick walls, but in reality it was nothing. And it's the same thing. It's this fear that the Satan, the Yetzer Hara, tries to inject upon a person who wants to climb the mountain, who wants to come close to Hashem, and who wants to remain there, who doesn't want to allow themselves to fall. And very often, those people who never begin to climb, or those people who climb and quit in the middle at some point, it's because of some type of fear. They were afraid. Somebody insulted them, and they couldn't take the heat. So they felt they had to leave the kitchen. They had to get out. And whereas a person who knows that all of this is temporary, the Satan, the Yetzer Hara, is referred to as Ruach Sa'ara Godol Beshaito. It's a storm wind. A storm kicks up a lot of noise, makes a lot of noise. But it's something that's temporary. It's something that lasts a certain length of time, and then it's over. Then it dies down. And if the person knows that I certainly can outlast that Ruach Sora Gudel Beshaita, we see that throughout the generations, there were very powerful enemies, nations, the Egyptians, the Romans, the Greeks, all who tried, the Germans, the Nazis, Yimach Shemom, all who tried, who had unbelievable power, made a lot of noise. And it looked as if there was no chance that they weren't going to succeed. There was no chance of the Jew remaining and of this nation remaining. And we see, despite all of that, the Jews have, Baruch Hashem, outlasted and outlived all of them. This is, as a people, as a nation, so too a person has to believe that within their own personal battle against their enemies, against their Yetzer Hara, they have the ability. Hashem wants us to succeed. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bo B'Trunyam B'Yosef. Hashem is not looking for our failure, he's looking for our success, and therefore he will never give a person an opponent that the person can't defeat. He'll never put the person in a situation that the person can't handle. Elamai, I can handle it. And the Yetzer Hara sometimes has the ability to make it appear as if the other side is an elephant and I'm a mouse. And a person would say, how in the world can a mouse defeat it? Whereas in reality, it's just the opposite. Rabbi Nazal says in one place, in the song, the Shir Yedidus, written about Rabbi Nazal, it warns, don't let yourself be like that elephant who's led by the mouse. The mouse, you're the elephant. You, the Jew, are the one who has such strength. You have no idea what kind of strength you have inside of you, what kind of abilities you have and capabilities. Don't let yourself be fooled by this angel who makes himself appear large and makes a lot of noise. But in essence, it's nothing. It's a bag of wind. Ve'ikar ha'hischaskus lavor b'sholam al geshra tzar b'li pachad. And what will give you the greatest strength and encouragement to be able to make it across that narrow bridge without fear is your faith. If a person really, really believes in Hashem and really, really believes in the destiny of the Jewish people, what it means to be Asher Bochar Bono Mikol Amin, and believes in the Torah, that person will definitely, definitely be able to overcome the fears and everything. Bechinas, as the Kohanim began in their speech, Shema Yisrael, if you have that, then you have nothing to fear. Atem kreivim hayoim lamelchoma. You're approaching the battle. Hainu b'schus Shema Yisrael, Shu Emunah Kedosha, Azai Shuv al Yerach Levavchem. As long as you have that merit alone, the merit of faith in Hashem, you have nothing to be afraid of. Ki Hashem alekechem ha'hoylechimochem loshia eschem. Because your Hashem goes before you to help you. Bebechinas, as the Pasuk says, Hashem li, if Hashem is with me, loy iro, I have nothing to fear. Ki me'achar shani ma'amin b'Hashem yisporach be'emuna shleima. If I really believe in Hashem seriously, with complete faith, ki me'loi chol horetz kevoidoi, that Hashem is everywhere, v'Hashem yisporach imodi tomit, and Hashem is with me at all times, azai shuv lo yiro mayasa liyodom, as David HaMelech says, what do I have to fear? What can any person do to me? Ki me'achar sheyesh lo'odom emuna chazoka b'Hashem yisborach. Because once a person has solid faith in Hashem, bevadai yenatzeach kol hamelchomois. That person will definitely be victorious in all battles. V'soif kol soif yoshuv l'Hashem yisborach b'emes. And eventually, that person will succeed in doing a complete tshuva, complete repentance. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, Zois oshev elibi al kein oichil. This is what I bring into my heart, and therefore I have hope. Zois subechinas malchus emuna kemavur befnim. And we know that the word Zois, the Zohar HaKadosh tells us, is a nickname for the malchus of Hashem, the kingdom of Hashem. It's a nickname for the concept of emuna. The Zohar HaKadosh quotes several psukim, bezois ani boiteach, many psukim in Tehillim, other places, which imply that Zois is the concept of Dovra Melech, of malchus, and Zois, which means emuna. We know that emuna is synonymous with malchus. The next paragraph, paragraph Ayin 70, is based on Likutei Halachos, Yoredeya, Hilchos Nedorim, the laws of vows, Halacha Dalet, chapter 4, paragraph 7. מעניין התורס מדורים על ידי חרוטו, מזה יכולים להובן עוצם חסדי השם עד אין סוף ואין תכלוס, ואין שום יש בעולם כלל. Based on the concept that we have in Judaism and Torah, that Hashem gives the person the ability to make a vow, to declare something forbidden, where it actually becomes a commandment in the Torah. The person actually creates new Torah. This item before was 100% permissible, nothing wrong with it, and I created a new mitzvah whereby this item became forbidden to me or obligatory to me. And then the Torah gives me the ability to go back on that, to be matir neder, to have this vow removed and undone. From this concept, this will help us understand the incredible, infinite kindness of Hashem and how no Jew ever has any reason to give up. Ki hanedorim shodom noider voisra latzmo yezedovor, zeo bechinas govoya moid, shoila lamokam aneder, shubechinas hamakif magdoishim shem shoroshi atoyer, kemuvur befnim. Because this concept of a vow, that a Jew has the ability to create new religion, to create new items, new laws in religion, to take this item that was perfectly permissible, kosher, okay, and to make it unkosher for himself. This item is based on a very high spiritual level, which is referred to as makifin. The Zohar Kodesh says that the word neder is nun dor, the 50th generation, which means bina, the 50th level, yovel, shara chamishim. Afal pi shenedorim hem bechinas gavoya kol kach, afal pi kein yecholim latirom al yidei charoto shemischareit lefnei hachochem, shezeo bechinas tshuva. And as great and holy a concept as this is, the concept of neder, the concept of a vow, still a Jew who comes before a rabbi with regret, expressing, I regret having made this vow. At the time I made the vow, I wasn't aware of such and such. And had I been aware, I never would have undertaken this vow. If the rabbi is able to find a Pesach Charoto, he has the ability to undo the vow completely, to make it disappear. Ki ikar hatshuva hu charoto, because we know in general, when we talk about repentance, the concept of tshuva, the most important ingredient in tshuva is regret. That a person expresses, I regret having done this, I regret having made that statement. Ki shom bebchinas hamakifin anal, shom hu bechinas tachlis hayidia asher lo neida. Because when we enter into that high a level, the place of neder, the place of makifin, that's a place where the kindness of Hashem, the shom hachesed ad ein soif, there the kindness of Hashem knows no boundaries. And it's possible for the person to say, I regret, I made a mistake, and to repent no matter what. Ki be'emes inyan ha'tshuva hu dovor nifla v'hu lamala me'adas, lamala me'atoyer akdo shekav yochol, k'mavur pefnim. Because the truth is, the fact is, that this concept of repentance is something that's so high and so holy an item, it goes above all rationale, above the Torah. V'alkein koyach ha'tshuva einoy nifsak lo'ilam b'shum oifim. And therefore the power of tshuva is something that never ends. It's infinite. V'afilu mi shemaschil lo shuv v'noifil chas v'shalom. Mizeh. V'afilu im hischil kam apomim u'v'chol pam nofal achar kach l'mash nofal. And therefore even a person who began, who tried to do tshuva, and then they fell. And even a person who tried many times and kept falling repeatedly, afal pikein hu tzorech l'schazek l'haschil b'chol pam mechodosh. Despite that, the person has to keep trying to start fresh. Ki koyach ha'tshuva einoy nifsak loylam. Because the power of tshuva is something that's infinite. Kishom hachesed ad ein soif, because we're talking about a place where the kindness of Hashem is unlimited. We know that on earth, there's a concept of certain people, a person needs $100, a person needs $5,000, $10,000. They know that there's a large audience of people that they can go to that have the capability If they would want, they can give me that kind of sum of money. If a person needs a larger sum, if a person needs $1 million, $5 million, then they know that their audience is much more limited. The people that they can go to for that kind of assistance is a much more select group. So too, when we talk about Kavyochol, the kindness of Hashem, there are different levels. Even though we know Hashem is one, unquestionably, Hashem Echod Shmo Echod, Kavyochol, by Hashem, there are different levels of kindness. And even when a person tries to reach out to Hashem, beseeching Hashem for kindness, if they go to a certain level of the kindness of Hashem, there's a concept of a limitation. There is kindness, but it goes so far. There's a higher level, kaviyochel, in the kindness of Hashem, which is called rachamim gedolim, where there it's something that's infinite, unlimited. There's no a concept of an oitzar matnas chinam, a place where even if the person is completely 100% undeserving, there is a kindness of Hashem that can handle, that can even provide that person with whatever salvation they need, whatever solution they need. And tshuva, the process of tshuva, is where a person is reaching up to this level called bina, which is above zeranpin. It's above the standard levels of kindness of Hashem. It's something that reaches into this place of infinite kindness, unlimited. And therefore, ואפילו אם הישחל כמה פעמים וכל פעם נופל אחר כך למה שנופל, אף על פי כן הוא צורך לחזק להשחל כל פעם מחודש. וזה אנו רואים על ידי התורס נדורם. And this lesson we can learn from this mitzvah in the Torah of התורס נדורם, שיכולים לבטל הנדר על ידי חרוטו שבחינס תשובה בכוח החוכם. אף על פי שהנדר בעצמו הוא בחינה גבוה מאוד, בחינה סמקיפן של מעל מידעס, בחינה שרושי התואר, בחינה תשובה, אף על פי כן יש בחינה גבוה עוד יויסר, ששום מזבט אל הנדר על ידי חרוטו. Which means, the Torah tells us that neder is something that's in a very high place. It's a very powerful item. It comes from Bina. And as powerful it is, when a Jew makes a neder, he locks into that. And a person would say, once you're in such a high place, to undo something over there, impossible? Not impossible. The Torah tells us clearly that if the person comes to a tzaddik, the person comes to a chacham, and presents their case before the chacham, the person expresses sincere regret before the chacham has the ability to undo it completely. Kemoikein, bechol avoidas Hashem Yisborach, bechol odom, bechol dargo, bechol zman. So too, this is a symbol to tell us that this pertains to every single level of person, in every type of place, in every time, in every concept of time. No matter what level we're talking about, yesh chasodim nifloa meitzel Hashem Yisborach, gavoya meal gavoya. There are levels of kindness by Hashem that are higher and higher. Ma she'ein hapeh yochel ledabar aleh lachshev, that we can't imagine. ואף על פי שהשם יסבורך עושה עמוי חסד והרימוי מיישבויס וישיבוי עולוב. And despite the fact that Hashem showed me tremendous kindness, in that Hashem picked me up out of the mud, out of the garbage, and allowed me to come close to him, allowed me to repent, allowed me to reach a certain level. והוא לא יחוס על עצמוי. And the person, despite that, the person ended up falling again, allowing themselves to fall again. To go back into that, to go back into the mud. Upogam gam b'chesed haniflo hazeh kam upon him. And despite the fact that Hashem showed the person tremendous kindness in bringing the person close, in giving the person the ability, the motivation, the inspiration to do tshuva, and the person got to a certain level, and then they fell. They did they committed a sin, bad thoughts, words, actions, whatever it is. אף על פי כן יש חסד למעלה מחסד עד אין סוף. There are levels of kindness by Hashem that are higher than that kindness, and still higher, going up infinitely. באופן שהכל יכולים להזכרב להשם יסבורך מכל מוקים שהם, to the point where everybody, no exceptions whatsoever, everybody has the ability to come close to Hashem, no matter where they're at, בכוחוי וזכוסוי של הצדיק הגדול והחכם שבדורו. With the help of the tzaddik, the great tzaddik and the chacham of that person's generation. Im yishmuelov, if the person will listen to the tzaddik, v'yelchu bedrochav hakdoshos, and follow the path, follow the advice and guidance of the tzaddik of their generation, that person can correct anything. Just like we saw in the case of neder, that neder is so powerful an item, there's such strict laws regarding neder, and still the Torah tells us that if a person made a neder, they made a vow, they got locked up in that way, and they come before a tzaddik, they come before a Talmud Chacham, and they express their regret, sincere regret, the tzaddik, the chacham, has the ability to advise them, to show them how to get out of the neder, and how to correct whatever they need to correct, how to fix whatever needs to be fixed. We, the students of Rabbi Nachman, know that Rabbi Nachman made a statement that from me until Moshiach, there will no longer be any news, meaning there won't be any tzaddik who will introduce a new path of Avodas Hashem, something different, made in a major way from what Rabbi Nachman had introduced. And therefore, by saying that, he was making it clear that the path, if a person wants to be zeichet to true tshuva, if a person wants to be zeichet to get to the shlemus, to true success in serving Hashem, Rabbi Nachman expressed his confidence and his positiveness that the path that he was presenting, that he's prescribing, is the path until the coming of Mashiach. The point that's being made regarding provocation, when a person's provoked, when they're permitted to respond, when they're obligated to respond, when they're forbidden to respond, these items are discussed very clearly in the Torah throughout. And the true tzaddikim, the ones who understand the Torah best, are the ones who are best qualified to decide these issues, to understand both on an individual level, on a personal level, and in terms of the Jewish nation on a whole, when there's a time to be silent, when there's a time to respond, and how powerful the response should be. There are laws throughout the Torah, there's advice given throughout the Torah, and there are actual examples of different cases in history showing us when to respond, how to respond, with what. This is something that requires study, that requires a great deal of learning. It requires guidance of tzaddikim, shimush chachomim, and it requires prayer to be given the wisdom. We know that throughout, when we speak about the outstanding Jewish leaders, King David, who had many battles in his time, we know the extent that he prayed to Hashem to be given the guidance, to be shown when to fight, when not to fight, when to compromise, when to retreat, when to move forward. There were times when Hashem's instructions were not to leave any trace behind, not men, women, or children, and there were times that the advice was otherwise. Therefore, obviously, this is something that requires the 613 commandments of the Torah are referred to as Taryag Itin Doraisa, the 613 pieces of advice of the Torah. And the more that a person is privileged to study the Torah and to receive clarity in the Torah via the truth tzaddikim, that person has the proper direction and the proper understanding of life and the situations around them, and would know how to respond properly. The next paragraph, 71, is based on the same chapter in Likutei Halachos, the chapter that deals with vows, chapter 4, this time paragraphs 14, 15, and 16. Here, Rav Nosson Zal points out, Al yedei shehatzadik hagodol yochel lohoyer lagdoilem b'malo, b'chinas dori malo, ulohidio lehem ki adayin einam yoidim klal midulos yisborach. Through the fact that the great tzaddik is one who has the ability to show those who are very learned, very religious, on a high level, he has the ability to show them that they have not yet achieved any understanding of Hashem. Because compared to his understanding, what they have is microscopic. It's tiny in comparison. And he's able to show them that they still have a long, long way to go in their efforts to try to come close to Hashem. על ידי זה בעצמו יוכל לקרב הרחוקים והנמוכים עוד, ולחזק את לבבם לבל יסיעה שום הנורח ממחס ושלום. That's what gives that tzaddik the ability to reach down to people who are on the lowest levels and be able to encourage them and convince them that Hashem is all the way down there with them and that they still at all times have the ability to come close to Hashem, to return. Ki adayin Hashem itom v'imam, ki maloi chol ha'oretz kevoidoi. Because the honor and light of Hashem fills the entire world, including the lowest, lowest of places. And this is a point that Rabbi Nachman and Rabbi Nosson Zal speak about very often, that these two go together to the degree that a person attains a higher level of understanding of Hashem. To that degree, they understand that the greatness of Hashem is such that it's able to reach further and further down to people on a lower level and still lower level, and to be able to bring them close. The term Gedula, when we talk about the greatness of Hashem, Gedulas Hashem, the term Gedula is synonymous with Chesed. We know when we recite the attributes of Hashem, we say L'cho Hashem HaGedula V'HaGvura V'HaTiferes V'Neitzah. So that the word Gedula is a synonym and a substitute for the term Chesed, which means that the more a person understands the greatness of Hashem, greatness in depth and in high level spiritually, the more that person would know and realize how far out Hashem's kindness reaches, how far down, and how a person in the worst of circumstances, in the worst of places, still has no reason to give up because Hashem's kindness definitely, definitely is enough even to accommodate them. The next paragraph, also a very short, brief paragraph, Ein Beis. Meinyan hischaskus lod, or mach mashetzorich leida, shief shaloi beshumoifen leida, baze oilam hechen oimed voiches. In terms of a person being able to be encouraged by the fact that very often, when it comes to physical success, people are always looking for milestones, they're looking for proofs, they're looking for acknowledgement, recognition, they're looking for some sign that'll indicate to them that they're doing the right thing, they're on the right path. And regarding spirituality, regarding coming close to Hashem, very often it's just about impossible for the person to really know, while they're still in this physical world, where they're holding, whether they're succeeding or not succeeding, and to what degree their success is happening. And this is the essence of a person's free choice and the concept of the tests that a person goes through in this world, spiritually, in religion. Because if a person would see the kind of success that they're achieving in accomplishing the tiniest mitzvah, which normal person wouldn't be motivated to open throttle and to do millions of mitzvahs every day and to do it with every iota of strength that they had. Rak shetzrichin leschazek be'emuna, lahamin gam bi'atzmoi, she'ein shum tenua toiva sheloi nevedes chas Hashem. And therefore, in order for a person to succeed, a person has to have the encouragement to believe in themselves also, to believe, I believe that if I am trying sincerely to do a mitzvah, I believe that Hashem is getting some degree of pleasure from this, and I believe that I am accomplishing some important good. Kemoy Shomer Azal, as the Gemara tells us. Interesting that Rav Nosson Zal in Likut Elochus quotes a famous statement in the Gemara, where the Gemara says that if a person will tell you that I didn't struggle at all, I didn't work hard, and I succeeded, don't believe them. If a person will tell you that I worked very, very hard, I struggled tremendously, and I didn't succeed, don't believe them. If a person tells you that I struggled very hard and I was successful, believe them. The wording, the Hebrew wording is yogati matzoso tamin. Lo yogati matzosi al tamin, yogati v'lo matzosi al tamin. So Rav Nosson Zal asks a very obvious question in Likutei Halachos. If a person struggled very hard and they succeeded, what's there to believe? Believe is something you don't see. If this person worked very hard and succeeded, wouldn't you see it? Wouldn't it be obvious? And Rav Nosson Zal says, by the fact that the Gemara uses that word tamen, the implication is that very, very often, especially when it comes to religion, spirituality, Torah and mitzvahs, a person can be struggling very, very hard and be succeeding incredibly and not be given permission to see it yet. Because Hashem knows and the Sota knows that if this person will get any idea of how great their success is, what unbelievable things are being accomplished by their efforts to study Torah, to do mitzvahs, to help another Jew, the person will go nuts. The person they won't know any boundaries. They won't be able to sleep or eat. The person will just burn rubber and be doing unbelievable, infinite, levels of Torah and mitzvahs. And therefore, in order for a person to still be within the category of free choice, where there's still a test as to whether to choose to do good or bad, to do the right, one of the major aspects of the test is that the person usually isn't given permission to see, given the ability to see, to what degree they're succeeding. However, this also is not forever, not permanent. Every once in a while, the curtain opens a drop, and the person is given some hints, remozim. Rabbeinu Zal says in chapter 54 in Likutei Moran that Hashem speaks to every single person, every single day, in every single place, wherever they are, sending the person messages, hints, to give the person the encouragement and the motivation that they need to try to come close to Hashem. So if a person looks carefully enough, and if a person is patient and waits, they'll get to see. But not always right away, and not always in an obvious way, so that it still requires emunah, requires faith, believing in yourself, believing in Hashem, believing in the Torah, and believing that if I believe in Hashem, if I believe in the Torah, and if I'm sincerely trying to do the right thing and to come close to true tzaddikim, and I'm following their advice, I believe that Hashem is getting pleasure from it. And I believe that I am advancing, and part of advancing is failure. Part of moving forward entails a step back sometimes. So the fact that I fall at times, doesn't prove that I haven't yet succeeded. On the contrary, every second I'm succeeding. Even my efforts alone, that alone, when it comes to religion, when it comes to physical things, sometimes a person doesn't know success is a certain amount of dollars. A person who's running a corporation says that when we get to $12 million, we know that we've succeeded, we've made it. We've crossed a particular line where we know the company is on solid ground. When it comes to religion, the yegiah alone, the effort alone, is a major success, sometimes the most important success. And Rav Nosson Zal says, the Zohar HaKadosh makes a statement, man notzach, man do'ochit man ekreva biyodei. Who is victorious? The one who holds his weapons in his hands. So long as a person hasn't put down the weapons, so long as they haven't quit, they're succeeding. The success isn't at the end of the line. Every effort, every attempt at doing a mitzvah, every thought of wanting to do something good is in itself a success. Whether I get to actually close the mitzvah at the end or not is a second level of success. But every iota of effort in thought, in speech, in action, in serving Hashem, that itself is a major success, a major victory. We should be zeuche to take the words of encouragement of Rabbi Nachman and his students seriously and to apply them to ourselves, each and every one of us in our own circumstances, and then for sure, each and every one of us will succeed on an individual basis, and Klal Yisrael will achieve a permanent success with the coming of Moshiach, the rebuilding of the Holy Temple, b'mehera b'yameinu, amen v'amen. Any questions or comments? When Rabbi Nachman makes this statement about Hashem sending these messages to every person in every place at all times, he obviously doesn't leave anyone out of that category. And we find many examples in the written Torah, in the oral Torah, in the Talmud, in the Gemara, where a non-Jew, a non-Jewish leader, kings, saw that they were being given a message by Hashem. The famous case that the Gemara tells us in Gittin, where it speaks about the destruction of the Holy Temple. And it says that there was a king of the Romans, Nero, who was about to embark on attacking the Jewish people at the time. And he wanted to do a test to see if his intention was correct. And the Gemara says he shot an arrow in the direction of Jerusalem, and the arrow flew straight in that direction. He turned to the right and he shot an arrow away from the city of Jerusalem, and he saw the arrow make a complete turn and head towards the city of Jerusalem. He shot in the different direction. He shot in the opposite direction, and he saw the arrow make a complete about face. And this was a clear message to him that he felt that Hashem was showing him that his intent at that time was to have the city of Jerusalem attacked and destroyed. The Gemara says that right afterwards, he decided to try one more trick. He went over to a small child, because the Torah makes a statement in one place that prophecy at times is given to small children. So he went over to a young Jewish child, and he said, "Tell me what you learned today." And the child quoted a sentence in the Navi, in the prophets, where the sentence says that Hashem is going to bring upon us, upon the Jewish people, a nation from the distance who are going to come like eagles, and they're going to swoop down on us, and they're going to cause major, major destruction. And then Hashem is going to wipe his hands in that nation. And this King Nero said, "Oh, hey, what? First he's going to use me, and then he's going to wipe his hands on me? No thanks." The Gemara says he took off his royal garments. He snuck away from the army. He went ahead and converted. And from him came forth Rabbi Meir. The Tana Rabbi Meir was a descendant of this Nero. This is the one whom about royal garments. We mentioned that he took off his royal garments, and he snuck away from his army, and he went ahead and converted. And this is why the Romans say King Nero fiddled while Rome burned. They try to make him into a nut of some sort, because they were embarrassed, you know, at the fact that one of their great leaders ended up eventually leaving them and converting at the time. It's true that regarding people thinking at times that they're getting messages from Hashem, this is a very delicate item. And this also is an example where a person needs a lot of the study of Torah and a lot of closeness to true tzaddikim, and a lot of prayer to be able to understand correctly, to be able to identify truth from falsehood, you know, in every manner, including this example of where a person thinks they're being given signs by Hashem and the signs are pointing in a certain direction, when in fact it could be that it's not the case. It could very well be that the signs are coming from another place.
Reach the next level of height, you have to be with your wife at a time that she's impure, when she's needed.